You're listening to the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible. With your own personal guide, it's the Pilgrim on the 405, Mr. Will Crist.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim Trucks on this wonderful day in Laguna Beach. Driving up and down the 405, there's lots of places that I could stop and feed my cravings. As we were looking around the last couple of weeks, there's a very interesting one that has headquarters here in Orange County. And this particular one is growing very fast with a healthy opportunity to feed their cravings. So we'll be talking today with the Vice President of Development Operations from Yogurtland. Now, if you haven't been to Yogurtland, you got to find it and try it out. We'll be talking a little bit about why you should, and if you're looking for a business opportunity, maybe this is something you should look at as well, because Yogurtland is a pioneering organization that is looking at the customer-created frozen yogurt experience. And what they're doing is combining irresistible yogurt flavors with an exciting franchise business model. We're going to talk a little bit about what's in that store, but I can tell you these 16 original sweet and tart flavors are just unbelievable. They have a wonderful taste, and I'm sitting here looking at my producer through the screen, and he's saying, yes, indeed, he's tried it too. So we're both caught in that whole thing. Now, Yogurtland, it got started back in 2006, but in the first year, it served over 25,000 customers each month. That's a lot of growth, because now they have over 170 locations throughout the United States, Mexico, and Guam, and they expect to have 75 additional locations either open or in development by the end of the year. And by the end of 2017, I don't know if they're trying to become the next Starbucks, but they expect to have 1,000 total locations. And we'll let Larry Sidoti tell us a little bit about where they're going, because it looks like they're going all over the world. And if you get on their website and take a look at where their retail locations are, you'll find right now they're global. So let's welcome Larry Sidoti, the Vice President of Development Operations of Yogurtland, to Pilgrim Talks. Larry, welcome.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for having me.
Well, so tell us about this Yogurtland.
Well, as you mentioned, Yogurtland was founded back in 2006 by Philip Chang. The company has grown to 173 stores, is where we stand today, over the last 5 years. And as you said, this whole thing started with one store that was serving about 25,000 customers a month. What Philip, the premise behind it was, Philip was researching the yogurt industry, didn't want to become an also-ran or just a knockoff of somebody else. There were a couple guys that were pretty prominent in the market that were coming out with a resurgence of yogurt, frozen yogurt, and Philip came up with a creative idea to make it more of a self-serve and interactive experience. And so he created this wall of 8 machines, 16 flavors, and he focused on 2 key points: great product and a value proposition that would be very difficult to compete with. So what Yogurtland is best known for is the high quality product that we have, and it is very unique because we formulate our own flavors in-house rather than buy an off-the-shelf product what the majority of our competitors do. And we can sell it at a price point that is typically 20 to 30% less per ounce than what the competition can sell it at.
Well, let me just tell you, when I knew we were going to do this, do the interview today, I have a standing appointment with some people in Redondo Beach every Wednesday, and it's half a block away from the Yogurtland retail shop in one of the malls right next to Trader Joe's. And so in honor of our, just in preparation for, I gave myself permission to go down and try it out. Now, I've done it before, but you're going to tell me why I shouldn't have these feelings. But I was thinking, you know, before, maybe I got to watch my weight, got to take care of myself and things like that. But today, I said, I'm going to try it. I walked in. You guys got two new flavors, right? What was that? One was... What's that one called?
Yo Frap and Yo Mango Frap. Mixer.
Yeah, and then I tried that, and that was wonderful. That just was tremendous. And then I said, I can't believe that they're going to devil's food chocolate cake. I can't believe that's going to taste like devil's food. I tried it, and Larry, I got to tell you, without the crumbles of a cake, but it's the same flavor. I can't believe it. How do you guys do that?
We have a tremendous R&D and product development team in-house, and we have one individual in particular that I like to refer to as Yogurtland's lethal weapon, who is the absolute best flavor guy in the industry. And he's probably one of the best flavor guys in the country. And he creates these flavors, and they're exclusive, and the devil's food chocolate cupcake batter that you're referring to is unreal, how close it tastes to the real thing. And that's how he creates all our flavors. We spare no expense on ingredients. We use the highest quality supplies and ingredients in our flavors and formulas, and what you get is the end product of that knowledge and skill.
It's a magnificent skill. Let me tell you. Now, is that done here in Anaheim?
Yeah, we have a lab in our office, and all the flavors are actually created in that lab, and we manufacture off-site.
Now, when you manufacture, how do you deliver that to the retail stores? Is that in liquid, or is it frozen before it gets there?
It's in a frozen state.
All right, so it goes in the machines frozen, and then it gets pumped out through the...
It arrives at the store in a frozen state, then it's thawed, and it goes into the yogurt machine in a liquid state, and then comes out frozen.
I see. Well, it's a wonderful flavor experience, and now, so tell me why maybe you can't, but for you to be able to tell me why I should be able to have that regularly without worrying about my weight or health or things like that.
Well, frozen yogurt is a much better alternative than ice cream. People in general crave desserts. We love sweets. And though it's not perfect, it's not, you know, the perfect health food product, but it is much better for you. It's a low-calorie dessert. There is no fat in 90% of our flavors. There is a very small amount of fat content in the nut-based flavors like peanut butter or pistachio, but for the most part, there's no fat. And if you stick with frozen yogurt and our fresh fruits or nut toppings, you can stay relatively healthy with the product. It's when you go to the candy section and the sweet section that it starts to turn on you a little bit, but that has its value too. But for the most part, aside from the healthy bacteria that's included in the probiotics, it is a much healthier product. And frozen yogurt does have similar qualities to cup-style yogurt that they sell in the stores.
Ah, okay. All right. So now there's 16 flavors. Do those change, or are they the same all the time?
Yeah, we have a rotation of about 30-plus flavors, and we're constantly creating new flavors like every 8 weeks. We come out with limited-time offers, which is what you mentioned earlier in the show. With the Yo Frap and the Mango Mixer, those are limited-time flavors. And then we also have promotional flavors, which will come out periodically. And those will come in and out during different times of the year.
So like Christmas, Easter, things like that?
Like we have Christmas flavors. We also, our marketing department came up with this really creative idea last year that really took off for the brand and gave us a boost during December, which is typically one of our slower times. And that was the 12 days of flavors, which is, they named it Yummy Licious.
Uh-huh.
So each day there would be a new flavor in the stores that was good for that day only. And then they put a lot of creative behind it, and it's been a great program. Now it's an annual thing that we do.
So you have anything for Valentine's Day?
I can't tell you. I can tell you we do have Irish Mint coming out for St. Patrick's Day, but yes, we do come up with different flavors for the holidays.
Well, it's a lot of children in every time I've been in the Redondo Beach Sport, a lot of children. Now, is this focused on family, or is that something just happened?
It's something that happens. Our target market is typically anyone from 15 to 34, and that's the sweet spot as far as the age group or age demographic. But this is also a family concept. Kids love the product and love the empowerment that comes with it. You get to do it yourself. You get to create your own as much as you want, as little as you want, whatever you want. And that is the third element that makes this such an incredible concept, is you have that interactivity and that entertainment piece that is missing in so many quick service restaurants or restaurants in general in the food service industry. You're always searching for that third element, that element of entertainment that or interactivity. And that's what, when Philip created this concept, that was one of the ideas that he had in mind, was the interaction that goes on with creating your own product.
Yeah, I noticed some of the kids coming in, they were bringing in their father or their uncle or something on that order, and he was hanging back watching as if he weren't very familiar with this, but they went right over, knew exactly what cup to pick up, and you know, they knew exactly what to do. It was so interesting that they were playing a game. This was entertainment for them. It was amazing to sit back and watch what was going on.
Yeah, our stores really are a lot of fun to be around. They're fun to work in, and they're fun to just sit and watch, as you suggest. It really is amusing and entertaining to watch these kids light up, these parents light up, the things that they create. And I had a customer in one of our stores in Long Beach that created this German chocolate cake just from mixing flavors and toppings together. She actually created what she called German chocolate cake.
Well, what are the ingredients? We got to try it.
The devil's food, of course, the devil's food brownie batter, coconut yogurt mixed, and then she put a coconut topping on it with almonds, and then caramel sauce and brownie bites.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. and that's got to, you know, that's not only is that fun, but it, you know, it's healthy. It's healthier than eating a pint of ice cream.
Yeah, but actually, what I just described wasn't all that healthy.
Well,
truth be told,
but the fun of coming and putting it together. Plus, it's not that expensive. What is it, like 33 cents an ounce?
33 cents an ounce. The average ticket gets out of there for $2.85.
And what I was watching is kids were there for 20 minutes putting that together.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like a mini Disneyland. Thinking about grandkids and you know how you are going to entertain them. This is a place for them to come in and spend some time. This is not just a place to get something to eat.
Exactly, it's an experience.
Well, there's a wonderful book that I read a couple of years ago from Harvard Business School called Experience Rules, something like that. And it talked about the whole notion of the experience economy. And it really was suggesting that in service industries, you could certainly push up the quality, and people would buy and look for quality. You could reduce the price and people would look for, you know, for less expensive. But what they were going to spend their money on and come back to again and again was a place that gave them a quality experience.
Yep. That is absolutely right.
Is that what Philip has in mind?
Philip, I think it was a big part of it. His primary drivers were, I want to have the best product at the best price. I want to treat every customer as if they're friends and family. That's his philosophy. And the whole strategy around this company was that premise, the experience part and the interactivity, it was intended, but it kind of took on a whole nother life and became something much more than anyone could have ever imagined. Because you have self-serve concepts out there. You have, you know, nobody, I think we can all agree, when you go to the salad bar, nobody's saying that's an incredible experience. You know, it's a little bit, there's something about this sweet dessert aspect of being able to create this incredible treat for yourself and control every aspect of it. And I think that it creates a reaction that just resonates with people. And so I think the interactivity part and the entertainment part kind of fell in place naturally. But the intended outcome was, I want to deliver the absolute best-tasting product at the best price.
Well, you certainly have done that. And it seems to me that the experience, I mean, you take 16 different flavors. People can go in and pick a variety of flavors, looking forward to the experience of what that's going to be. And then on top of that, they can put the toppings on that as well. I mean, it sounds simple, but what, standing back and looking at it today, knowing we were going to be talking about it, I was fascinated with the whole idea of how this has become an experience right in the face of stories about how yogurt companies have become commoditized. So do you guys talk about experience? Do you have a way of getting feedback on the quality of experience that customers have?
We do get feedback. There's the kind that you solicit, and then there's the kind that just, when I, you know, if I'm traveling or something or out and about and I have my Yogurtland gear on, you just get, most of the time you get stopped in your tracks. It could be on an airplane, it could be, you know, at a park. I mean, somebody wants to come up and tell you their story, and you stand there and you just go, wow, you know, we sell yogurt, which you would think is a commodity, and there's not any real clear lines of differentiation, but the reality is there is. This brand resonates with people to the point where it translates to results that are just unheard of when it travels across country, when it travels, you know, to the middle of the country. You know, wherever we've gone, we've experienced a great deal of success with this brand, and the only way you explain it is the name resonates with people, the experience that we've created, and the flavors are just, when compared to our competitors, there's no comparison. It's just being as unbiased as one could be. It's just completely a different experience.
Well, there's chocolate, but yours is not just chocolate. Yours has a very interesting a chocolate experience that you're not gonna, I don't think I could find in the grocery store looking for chocolate, even with some of the premium ice creams.
That's true, but that's because the people we have here are that good.
And they probably are very expensive to have around.
This probably sounds like a cliche, but they're just very passionate, and they have a love for this brand that, you know, everything is at the highest level.
And yeah.
That's what this entire culture of this company and this entire organization from the top down is built on.
Well, I mean, that's wonderful, because it seems to me that it's certainly possible to run a commodity mass consumption company without the kind of attention to detail and quality around the experience that I find at Yogurtland. So kudos to you guys, because you've caught something there about providing quality product, low price, and a wonderful experience that is not present in a lot of other fast, quick dessert companies.
Yeah, and you know what I to put it all, to bring it home and put it in perspective, everything we've done, we've accomplished during the worst economic times in the history of this country, or at least from the worst possible times that any of us can remember. All of our development, all of our growth, all of the success that we've had has happened during these economic times, which is, anyone who's ever been involved with development and in food service, when recessions hit, you hunker down, you don't expand. Or if you expand, you expand at a very slow clip, and we've been able to buck that and just keep rolling. And we've had doubled the size of the company nearly every year. In a very responsible way, too. You know, we're focused on things that most franchisors don't really pay close attention to, and we look at things a little bit differently.
Well, how long have you been with Yogurtland?
I'm coming up on 3 years.
What did you do before?
I got started in food service back in 1995. I started a company called Juice It Up and grew that company over a 13-year period to about 160 stores. And then after 13 years, I left and went to Mrs. Fields Cookies and TCBY and was there for about a year and a half. At Juice It Up, I basically held just about every position at different times during my career there. With Mrs. Fields, I served as the vice president of development for both brands. And for came to Yogurtland in spring of 2009 because I saw a young, aggressive, and very hot concept on the rise and just wanted to be part of it.
So how would you see the difference between TCBY, because that was a very hot franchise 5 years ago. What would you see the difference between TCBY and Yogurtland?
I think the difference is from leadership down. It's just a different company and a much stronger company at Yogurtland. From the top down, just from a leadership standpoint, from the passion for the brand, what this brand is built on, and the values and beliefs that this company is built on, is just completely different than what TCBY is.
Can you talk a little bit about the difference?
Well, again, the premise that we built this brand on is great quality product at the most affordable price and the best price value. The business model was, we created that self-serve model. TCBY was more of a counter service. Come in and you know, you order what you want, more traditional counter, over-the-counter type experience. I think our stores are cutting edge as far as the look and feel and design. I think our product is, I think I've rattled on enough about our product. And I just think the execution at every level is at a higher level at Yogurtland.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our name seems to resonate with people more so than theirs and as well. I mean, Yogurtland's got to be the best name in the industry.
That's right. It's like Disneyland.
Exactly.
Listen, Larry, can you stick around a little bit after the break and talk a little bit about the business model?
Sure.
For franchisees?
Absolutely.
All right, so let's take a break here and hear from our friends at Sandler Training.
Hi, I'm Bob Barber with Sandler Training. I'm here to talk to you about rule number 6. Don't buy back tomorrow what you sold today. I was talking to a salesperson the other day, and he'd closed a big deal. Gone to the bank, cashed the check, the works. Unfortunately, he got a 4 o'clock in the morning phone call from a prospect saying, put a hold on things, something's come up. He'd had second thoughts. Second thoughts. You ever had second thoughts? Of course you have. It's human nature. It's usually right after you let your daughter stay out late on Friday night, or you order dessert or buy that new car. Did I make the right decision? It's only human nature. Traditional salespeople tend to rush through that process, hope that the person doesn't have their human nature natural reaction of second thoughts or buyer's remorse. They try to close the deal, pass that problem on to somebody else, get that contract processed. At Sandler, we help the prospect embrace that. Bring it up. Help them go through it. Work through that second thought, that buyer's remorse. It might sound something like, Jim, I'm looking forward to working with you. I think it's going to be fun. This accounting solution is what your company needs. Now, you were a little concerned that we couldn't get the conversion in place within 3 weeks. It's going to be more like 5. Are you going to be okay with that? Help that person work through it. What better way to reinforce the role of a trusted advisor than to help that person work through their buyer's remorse? Rule number 6, don't buy back tomorrow what you sold today.
Well, we've been talking here to people from Yogurt Land. Larry Sedati, who's the Vice President and Developer of Development and Operations, and we know that Yogurt Land has a great product. I mean, it just knocks it out of the park in terms of enjoyment and flavors. We know that it's a good price at 33 cents an ounce, and we know that it's a lot of fun for kids and adults as well to go over and play around with the various flavors and mix it up and all sorts of toppings and things like that. So it's a wonderful consumer experience, and you can spend a lot of time with kids there and just burn up a half an hour at least. A little bit, Larry, about the business opportunity for franchisees. Now, this is not an inexpensive operation, right?
No, it's in food service, it would be a little bit under middle of the road. The average startup cost is anywhere from $350,000 to $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
The ROI on that is usually about 2 to 2.5 years.
Uh-huh.
So it's not overly expensive. It's a little bit more expensive than, say, your ice cream shop or your over-the-counter. And the big expense is really the yogurt machines, because you have mm-hmm. 8 of them.
Now, is there financing available for qualified potential franchisees?
Not through the company, but you could go through local banks and business banks. Most of our franchisees have self-financed.
Okay. All right. So that's the typical pattern would be to finance that and pay it out. Get the return on that in the next 2.5 years.
Yeah. And again, you know, with the economy the way it is, the capital markets still have not come back all the way. So it's still a challenge to get bank loans and that type of funding. It's not impossible. It's just a little more challenging than it was, say, 5 years ago or 6 years ago.
Now, would you say that you have 172 stores? Are most of them individually owned, or are they multi-unit franchises?
It's a mix of both. We do have a higher than normal multi-unit average. About 65% of our company is multi-unit, but mm-hmm. not on a large scale. We do have some area developers in different parts of the country. But for the most part, we have a lot of guys that have 2 and 3 units.
Now, so this is not a labor-intensive operation, is it? It's not like a typical food service where you've got lots of activity in addition to the counter.
No, it's quite the opposite. It's actually labor-favorable, if you will. Um, our our labor cost is usually much lower than what a typical food service company or operation that would do similar volumes would be. Ours is could be anywhere from 8 to 10 points lower.
Mm. I've noticed that. I mean, all I've seen is the cashier. Is there a lot of other back-end activity that's not obvious from the consumer's perspective?
No, you typically can run a store with 3 to 4 employees at a time. And usually there's, depending on the time of year and how busy or the busy hours versus the slower hours, you usually will have 3 employees, and typically you want 2 in the front, 1 in the back, making sure that the machines are all fully stocked and your prep work is all done. And because we go through a lot of fruit, so you're constantly prepping fruit and refilling machines, and there is a lot of backroom activity, but you can get by with 2 to 3 employees typically, and then when it's busy, usually 4.
Uh-huh. All right, so what kind of support does the Yogurtland franchisor, what kind of support and training do you offer a franchisee?
Yogurtland, actually, we invest a lot of money in supporting our franchisees from the start and throughout their life with Yogurtland. From the start, we have, for instance, on the development side, we have real estate support, construction and design support, as well as the franchise management and development support. That gets them through to the point where they actually open their stores, and then development hands it over to operations, which now gives them all the operational support. Typically, we have our regional operations people in stores supporting our owners once every 30 to 45 days, which is probably 3 times as frequent as a competitor in this industry. So we over-support on the operational side. We have full marketing support with field marketing people as well as corporate marketing people. So it's the whole organization is built on maintaining a high level of execution at the store level.
All right, so that execution would be cleaning, maintaining the machines, making sure they're full, and then making sure that the toppings are there, and then it's a cashier, right?
Actually, what we mean by great execution is great customer service, clean stores, fully stocked, and just performing at every level, making sure that each of those functions is handled. And under the standards that Yogurtland requires. Because as you pointed out, this industry can easily become nothing more than a commodity. And there could be nothing, it could be completely built on convenience. And so you do the extras and set yourself apart, then people are willing to drive the extra mile and take the convenience part out of the equation.
Well, talk to me about customer support, because that person at that cashier is almost the only contact that a self-serving customer would have with Yogurtland, right?
Well, we encourage our franchise owners and partners to have what we call lobby ambassadors. That would be somebody in the front that's not standing behind the cash register who guides people through what the process is and answers questions and talks about the flavors. And unfortunately, this happens more during the busy season, because it's easier to do that. So during spring and summer at most Yogurtlands, you'll see this lobby ambassador. But customer service, and it goes beyond just greeting and smiling and doing the personal things, it also means having a clean store, having fully stocked topping bars, making sure you're not running out of yogurt, making sure the lights are all on, making sure the environment is consistent and the product is consistent and appealing, and making sure that every customer is greeted, making sure that you're asking customers if they have any questions, would they like sample cups. That's another wonderful thing about our stores, is you get to sample everything.
Well, wait, I have it. Well, that's not. I'm going to take you up on that. Is there a limit to how much you can sample?
No.
Good.
No.
I'm going to try them.
We want you to sample, because we know once you get this in your mouth, it's over.
That's right. I agree. That's good. All right, so talk to me a little bit about the training that you give to people for customer service.
We have a really good training program, and I know your listeners are probably rolling their eyes and saying this company is not that good or whatever, but I'm serious. We put a big emphasis on these things, because training is the foundation of the next 10 years that you're involved with this company. So we have a one-week training program in our office and in our corporate stores, and you learn everything about the operation and everything about, and this is equally important, the culture of the company. Because one thing that we stress is that we are culturally aligned, that we have the same philosophies, that we look at the business in similar ways, that we understand how important it is to do the little things and how important it is to operate at the highest level. So these are things that you learn in training. We also have, once you open your store, we have a trainer, a field trainer, in your store for the first week to make sure that you're working out all the kinks and you've retained most of what you learned during the week that you were here for training. In addition to that, we have a series of videos, training videos that we send out that are extremely entertaining. They're funny. They're not boring, you know, this is how you clean a machine. They actually have, we create characters, fun characters, with fun personalities that make this fun, so people want to watch them. And these are more in the way of support. We produce them, and we go to the expense to make sure that we're doing this so we can remind franchisees to do the little thing. We also have field training personnel that they go out into the stores and they retrain and make sure that as your business cycles through and you have new employees coming and old employees going, that we have mechanisms in place to retrain them. And we do this on our dime. This is not something that we're in the business to do. We're in the business to be the highest quality operation out there. And so these are just steps that we're willing to invest in to make sure that we accomplish that.
So does all the training take place either in the corporate headquarters in Anaheim or out in the field in the stores themselves? Do you have any remote training?
No. Everything right now takes place in Anaheim or in the field.
So no video conferencing, no GoToMeeting online kinds of things?
Actually, we do that. We have monthly webinars, system-wide, to go over operational and marketing tactics and plans and new programs that are coming up and retraining.
All right. So talk to me a little bit about the marketing. I mean, I'm thinking now from the perspective both of corporate branding, and then also I want to get into what the franchisee can do, should do. I want to get a sense of what the dynamic is between the individual franchisee and the corporate. So talk to me about corporate branding and marketing right now.
Well, from a corporate standpoint, it's more global. So we're looking at, we focus on building the brand throughout the organization and throughout all our markets. And basically, corporate marketing supports building Yogurtland as a brand. Local store marketing is more community-based and focused on the individual store. And we have two levels internally. We obviously have the corporate level, which does most of the brand building, the high-level stuff. And then we have field marketing people who are actually out in the field supporting the stores on a local store marketing effort. Some examples of corporate is last summer, for instance, we did a partnership with Sanrio and Hello Kitty. And for a six-week period, we were all over the papers, all over the news. This was a big joint venture event where we had Hello Kitty merchandise in our stores and Hello Kitty special commemorative cups and spoons. And it was really a really incredible promotion. But that's something that is done at the corporate level, but obviously at the store level, they're the main benefactors. Other brand building things are like PR, special events, more of a broad level. We were just a major sponsor at Sundance, at the Sundance Film Festival. Those would be corporate activities. More local store marketing activities would be school sponsorships or school initiatives, doing mailers, zip code based mailers, and marketing pieces in within a certain radius. That's all supported by the company. Grand openings for stores. Special events for stores. So it's really kind of a two-prong attack, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at your Facebook page for Yogurt Land. You got 224,688 people who like you.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything in the store that encouraged me to get onto the Facebook page or give you my email or anything like that. Is that something that you're doing right now?
We're still learning the social media game.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lot of old school in us, and we're still learning that part of it and how best to use it without doing any damage to the brand. Or without and being able to do it in a productive and in a way that promotes us but doesn't it can get away from you, and we've seen that happen. So we're learning the pluses and the minuses and what the best way to harness those mm-hmm. avenues are.
Mm-hmm. So that's something that you are looking at. Do you find that the franchisees take initiative to do marketing? Is that something that's encouraged?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're doing it a lot more. Early on, they didn't, because it was kind of like Field of Dreams, open the doors and they come. If you build it, they will come. We had that a lot, and we still get it, but we also know that this world gets competitive fast, and so you've got to be a little more aggressive, and you've got to let people know that you're there, and it's not an automatic anymore that when you open your doors, people are just going to know it. So, yeah, franchisees are encouraged they're encouraged and also required to participate in local store marketing efforts.
Oh, I see. And is that a certain number of activities, or is that a certain amount of money spent, results?
We expect them to spend at least 2% on their local marketing.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's recommended, and most franchisees will do close to that.
So do you have somebody to coach, train, monitor those local franchisees in their you know, what they do with that 2% that they're going to spend in local marketing?
Oh, yeah. We have marketing. Our marketing team does that. They support them. They help create the promotions. Sometimes they'll initiate the promotion. Sometimes it's a collaborative effort. I mean, it takes on numerous shapes and different paths that it travels down. It just depends on the franchisee and what the franchisee wants to do and what we're willing to do.
Do you think that any of your franchisees have a website for their own local yogurt land shops?
No. We again, that's something that we don't want to send mixed signals out there. So We keep a very tight cap on the message that is delivered and the consistency of the message. So we make sure that things like websites and electronic media are typically run through corporate.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me a little bit about the culture for the franchisee. Do they know each other? Are there times when they get together? Are they sharing ideas? Or are they kind of one? Is it franchisee to corporate?
It's both. We do have an annual convention that is where most of them get together, meet each other, and socialize. It's actually an incredible experience, and again, it's one of those things that you just, until you experience it, it's hard to really believe. When you have this event for a company our size that looks like something IBM would put on. They're usually a 2.5-day event at a really nice hotel or facility, and we have dinners and awards and, you know, breakout sessions and guest speakers. And it's really a great, great event. But it's also one where the franchisees can network and they meet each other and they talk and they collaborate and they come up with, you know, their ideas and then they stay in touch. We also have our franchise advisory board that they're obviously interactive with each other. We also have our webinars where they get on and there is a little bit of interaction, but not as much. And then in training sessions, often groups that train together end up staying in contact with each other. So there is a lot of that. And there is a lot of, you know, if they want to find out how people are doing in other markets, they get on the phone and call and they'll talk about different tactics and strategies and best practices and things like that to help one another.
So for the multi-unit franchisees, is this their primary occupation, is running a yogurt land, you know, two or franchise yogurt land organization?
It varies. Some keep their day jobs. Others are in this full blown. Others are on vacation. You know, they've done well. So it just varies. They all have varying degrees of how much they spend. Obviously, the multi-unit guys set up structures and are running the business on a daily basis. Maybe not at the store level, but at a slightly different level. Our independent owners and our smaller multi-unit guys typically are involved in the store in a pretty active capacity.
So do you have any corporate stores or are they all franchisees?
No, we have 7 corporate stores right now. We've got an 8th one under development and we are aggressively looking for more.
I see.
We put our money where our mouth is. We want to be part of it. And we believe in this business model, so we're willing to invest.
Mm-hmm. What about an exit plan for multi-unit franchisees, or I suppose even the single-unit franchisees?
Well, it depends on what their appetite is. We haven't had a lot of transactions or transition from in and out of the system, but you can sell your store, you can add more stores. There are definitely worse ways to make money. So this is a fairly, as we've talked about, this is a fairly straightforward and easy business to be in. So it is very attractive to people. They can sell or exit the system. The normal way is just sell, you know, to a potential franchisee or an existing franchisee.
Well, I was speaking with a broker, a business broker, who specialized in fast food restaurants and in the food industry. I was just wondering if you had any relationships like that to help people with their exit plan.
You know, we don't, like I said, we don't have a lot of turnover.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that has been out there. And the ones that do sell typically are approached by someone who makes them an offer and they feel that they can't refuse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's been some very hefty offers, and you know, one sign that it was unsolicited is that they get back in the business.
Mm-hmm.
They take the money they got and they open another store.
Uh huh. Well, that's excellent. That's certainly a good recommendation for you. Good
testimonial.
So tell us a little bit about where you see Yogurtland going. What are your plans for expansion in the next 12 months?
We are targeting to open 88 stores this year. We've got specific DMAs that we're primarily focused on that we will be more aggressive in than others. But we're not pursuing other areas. But we do have some prime areas that we are more focused on.
Would you like to be?
Obviously, we're continuing to expand in the Southern California market. Also, Northern California, Houston and Dallas, Texas, Seattle, the Northeast from Philly to Boston and New Jersey, Florida, Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Our prime market.
We're also
working on some things in the Carolinas and Atlanta, Vegas, Arizona.
Sounds like you guys are busy over there.
We're extremely busy.
Are you enjoying yourself? Having fun?
Love it. Love
you
it.
You love it, huh?
Can't wait
well,
to get
good.
Up every day and do this. It is not even like work. It's fun. It is a passion, and just love the brand and love the business, love the culture and everything this company's about.
Well, that's wonderful. I want to come over and visit you sometime.
You have an open invitation.
And my producer is not going to let me close the show down without asking you how he's going to get some discount tickets for Yogurtland in Aliso Viejo.
I have to put one in Aliso Viejo first.
I guess it's in, where did
the
he
Laguna
say?
The Laguna Hills store?
Laguna Hills or Mission Viejo, something like that.
Kaleidoscope.
Uh-huh.
Kaleidoscope.
Mission Viejo, right. There
if
you
he
go.
Can, if he can shoot me an email, you have my email address. Shoot me an
yep.
email with his address, and I'll send you both some gift cards.
All right. Well, that will be, he's smiling, big, big smile right now. Excellent. Well, what would you like to say to folks out there?
Well, if you have any interest in owning your own business, I would invite you to explore this opportunity, at least look into it. And, you know, we welcome the calls, and we'd love to meet with you and talk to you about this. We're very low-key. We show you what we're all about, and we give you the information. And, you know, most of the time... You know, it's very favorable, and I think we have a tremendous opportunity, and right now is just a great time to be in this business.
Well, that's wonderful. I really appreciate you taking time away from your passion, Larry, to be with us to talk about your passion.
I'm still here, so I'm good.
All right. Well, I look forward to talking with you. I will give you a call, and we'll arrange a time to get together and share a little bit further.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, a wonderful opportunity for business people who want to get into a place that's got a lot of passion, a quality product, and a low-price product, and a lot of wonderful experiences for people. I'm just continually amazed at what I see when I'm in a Yogurtland shop, and like I mentioned, I the one I go to is up in Redondo Beach, and it's always filled with people who got big smiles on their face, lots of kids having a good time. And I guess the only time they feel bad is if they drop their yogurt cup and have to start over. But it's a wonderful experience. I encourage you to either try it out if you're a consumer, or take a look at it if you're looking for a business opportunity. Lots of fun. Take the plunge. Give them a call over at Yogurtland in Anaheim at 714-939-7737, or go to www.yogurt-land.com and take a look at it. Well, lots of wonderful, interesting things along the 405, up and down. Good businesses, good opportunities, lots of passion, and lots of people who are having lots of fun out there. It's really good to see the turn in the economy and to see people beginning to look forward with lots of eagerness and optimism. So that's it for this week on the Pilgrim on the 405. We'll look forward to talking with you next week. If you got any ideas about people who'd like to be on the show, give me a call at 949-355-6013 or shoot me an email at willchris@octalkradio.net. Look forward to talking with you again next week.
You've been listening with the only personal guide to the strange new world of new ideas and new technologies that surround us here in Southern California. It's the Pilgrim on the 405, only on Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.